forgot to mention earlier that I did another Bible study with John and some friends of his. And I don't think we got to John 3. And they joined along when they were so excited because they were just reading what God said out of his word. And then they started to find it offensive. And then they found it more offensive. And then they finally found it so offensive that they said no more. May that not be our portion this morning. Why don't we just read these words, and I want us to then look at why they are so extraordinarily significant to all believers. What's the difference between a saved person and a lost person? What's the difference between Judas, who was still alive that night, and with a bunch of people who were rejoicing in their religion and in rejoicing in their knowledge of the Word of God and rejoicing in all of their activities? What was the difference between Judas and Peter? Both of them behaved with the most extraordinary wickedness that night. Extraordinary wickedness, extraordinary betrayal, extraordinary denial. The answer is a really simple one in Luke's account, isn't it? Satan's asked to sift you like wheat, and you'll be sifted like wheat, Peter. But what's the difference? I have prayed for you. That is the difference, brothers and sisters in Christ. This is the most remarkable high priestly prayer. These are glorious, glorious words. Well, I don't know. Won't it be wonderful to be in heaven? Won't it be wonderful to hear him speak? What's his voice like? We have so many pictures of it in the scriptures. What's his voice like? What's his face like? The only things we know about his body is it's marked. It's marked with the wounds of our sins being dealt with by God Almighty. What's it like to be embraced by him? What's it like to hear him say, "Come, ye blessed of my Father. There's an inheritance prepared, an eternal, infinite place for you." To feel his touch, to feel his embrace. Song of Songs leads us to see, and the gospel accounts of the Lord dealing with people lead us to see, that there is a sweet and glorious and powerful and intimate union between the Lord Jesus Christ and his bride. And John 17 expresses these words in the most remarkable way. I just wanted to read it, and I want us, and I pray that the Lord would just allow us to enter into the beauty and the wonder of these, this extraordinary prayer. He prays in the first five verses for himself. He prays in the next 14 verses for the apostles and the ministry and the witness and the testimony that we have. You cannot believe and you cannot be saved without hearing the apostolic gospel proclaimed, and so that's extraordinarily significant. And then he prays for us. This is a prayer that's being prayed for his people until he comes back again. So let's just read it quietly and see if the Lord might allow us, as I've prayed, to just enter into the wonder of this. Let's just find ourselves like John, leaning upon his breast and hearing him breathe these words out to us. John 17, verse 1. These words, all of those words, "I've overcome the world," all those words of comfort, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee, for I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. All mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. None of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but thou shouldst keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. I just pray the Lord might allow us to enter into the wonder and the beauty of those words. Eternal life is wrapped up in this man. Eternal life is wrapped up in him who was before the foundation of the world. Eternal life is wrapped up in him glorifying God Almighty. Sinners are called to come. Sinners are called to believe. Sinners are called to look and be saved. It's interesting, at the beginning of the scriptures, in the garden, in the midst of the garden, was the tree of life. And in the midst of the garden was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And when man ate from the knowledge of the tree, you see, he was never instructed not to eat from the tree of life in the garden. He was told you not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the day he did, he died. And Adam and all of his posterity were spiritually dead. They did physically die, but they were in spiritual death. But I love how the book of God finishes. It begins with that garden and that tree and the glory of the gospel shown there. But at the end, in Revelation chapter 22, and he showed me the pure river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, there was the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruit and yielded her fruit every month. You can eat from this tree all the time, all year round. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there. They need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. And they shall reign for ever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angels to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them, and when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. And he saith unto me, See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. And he saith unto me, Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without, outside of the gates, are dogs. We're not to think of physical dogs. The dogs in the scriptures are those who take the people of God and put them back under the works of the Mosaic law for obedience and sanctification. Then sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you that these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. Let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of this book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He that which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. When man fell, the Lord promised the gospel. The seed of the woman shall crush the serpent's head. He's in the process, his heel will be bruised. This land, this earth that we live in will be cursed, and by the sweat of your face shall you eat your bread until you return to it. But the Lord both preached the gospel, and he showed the gospel as he brought that lamb into the presence of Adam and Eve and slit its throat in the garden, having gathered them out of the darkness. Having gathered them out of the darkness of their hiding and running from the very voice of God, having gathered them out of the darkness of their attempting to cover their shame by their own works. And the Lord, and to Adam and his wife, verse 21, did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothed them. Verse 24, and so he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. You can't live unless you have access to the tree of life. When they built the tabernacle according to the pattern that Moses had seen in heaven, the pattern of the Lord Jesus Christ and him crucified, that great curtain that separated the Holy of Holies from the holy place, that great curtain through which only the high priest could go, only with blood to atone, only with the holy anointing oil, only with the holy incense could he go. And he went once a year, and on that curtain were the cherubims. On that curtain was a glorious, glorious picture of the Lord Jesus Christ and him crucified. The blue of heaven, the red of the earth, and the purple. And the cherubim there. Everything in the scriptures from that moment of sin on says you only come into the presence of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot come into the presence of God with anything of yourself. You cannot come into the presence of God with your own works. And he, as we stand here in his presence today, he is still, as he's promised, saying to the many of Matthew 21 to 23 who come to him boasting about their religious activities. He said, "Depart from me, you lawless ones. I never knew you." But there is in the gospel, and there is in this glorious picture, a way to the tree of life. It's the way of righteousness, it's the way of truth, it's the way of peace, it's the way of life. It's the narrow way, it's the constrained way, but it's a way open. There's a fountain open for sin and uncleanness. There's a door. The hour has come, this hour has come when all of these glorious pictures and promises are going to be sealed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the great high priest is offering this prayer and reciting this prayer to us. And that great high priest went in that day with all of the names of the children of God. He had them on his heart. And he had them on his shoulder. And he went into the Holy of Holies and he came out having that sacrifice accepted by God Almighty. And this is the words that he said, the high priest. And these are the words that should ring in the ears of God's people when we come to a passage of scripture that's so full of the glory of God. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord, number 624 and following, you know, I can't believe it. They sang it down the road when I was so-called christened in the Presbyterian Church many, many years ago, and they used to sing it so beautifully. It was the one thing in there that really struck me at how sweet it was. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. That's the work of the great high priest now, isn't it? In the preaching of the gospel to his children, he comes now with words of comfort to us. Seven times in this prayer, he speaks of glory. 50 times he speaks of his bride. And he has a name for her, or he has a description of her Again and again and again throughout this prayer, he says, as many as thou hast given him, the men which thou gavest me, them which thou hast given me, of whom thou hast given me, those who thou gavest me, all. Again and again and again, he keeps defining his people as the gift of the Father to his Son. What a gift. What a gift given before the foundation of the world. What joy and what holiness and what extraordinary anticipation there was in that, in the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, took those people to himself and became united to them in a holy communion, a holy union that cannot be divided. And that, my friends, is the reason for him coming. It's a reason for this hour. This, someone said that this, when he says the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that hour is the keystone of the arch of all history. You know what a keystone is. You build a stone arch and you support it and you prop it and you prop it up and you make it really strong. And then finally up at the top you put in a keystone. And as soon as the keystone's in, all the scaffolding can be taken away. Everything is held together by the keystone. The reason this universe exists, as I want to be reminded myself, I want to remind, the reason this universe exists is because of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary's tree. The reason for it still existing is because of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary's tree and the fruit that must necessarily flow from his glorious, glorious work. This prayer is answered. What hinders this prayer from being answered? He told us in the previous chapter that if we want to find comfort in troubled times, we go back through those previous three chapters and we will find our hearts in troublesome times and troublesome circumstances. We'll find them comforted, as he's promised. And that's why he begins these words, spake Jesus. All of those words that he had just said, all of the words that he'd said through our time, and he lifted up his eyes to heaven and his Father said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also might glorify thee. And I just want us to briefly, as we close, look at the fact that he's a giver. He came as a giver. He didn't come as a rewarder of good works. He came as a giver of eternal life. The first one I want us to look at, I just want to look at them briefly, and I want you to go away contemplating and pondering this prayer, and I want us to, it to be something that becomes more and more precious to us and more real in our lives. 15 times in this prayer he speaks of giving. The Father has given a Son, and the Son gives these glorious gifts, and some of these gifts are wrapped up in the very being of who he is. Listen to what he says in verse 2. It's all about the glory. The essence of it all is the glory of God. The hour has come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. The first thing is that we are given a glimpse into the majesty of God Almighty. What a loving rule he has over all of this creation. He has power over all flesh. He has power over all humanity. He has power over all the circumstances of all humanity. He's given him power over all flesh as the glorious mediator. Everything in the circumstances of life are purposefully designed and ordained by God Almighty for his glory and for the good of his people, the spiritual good of his people. He's given him power. In verse 6, he has manifested his name. He's given us He's given us to see in his incarnation and in his words and in the glory of what happened on the cross, he's given us to see all of the glory of God, all the manifestations of the name of God, all of the attributes of God. All of them are seen in the Lord Jesus Christ and him crucified. His holiness is seen there. His justice is seen there. His wisdom is seen there. His love is seen there. His righteousness is seen there. His absolute sovereignty is seen there. They're all seen there. He's manifested thy name. Do you love his name? Do you love his loving rule? Do you love his name? That Bible study that we were talking about fell apart, and both of them fell apart because of the name of God. They'll have a God of all sorts of names, and they'll have a God, people will have a God of their own construction and their own attributes, but they just don't know who he is. They found him as he declared himself to be offensive, just like the men did who were plotting his death while he was proclaiming these wonderful words. He's manifested the name. Verse 14, he has given them his word. He's given to his people. I want us to be reminded again and again that when the God speaks of giving all throughout John's gospel, always there is a giving and there is a receiving. There is no giving without there being receiving. He's given them his word. His people have his word, and the world hates them because they're not of the world. Their origin is not of the world, even as I am not of the world. They've given his word. Verse 8, he says, I have given them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them. God's children receive them. He's given his people to understand the mysteries of the incarnation. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he speaks of the glory of this revelation. And without him birthing us from above and without him sending his spirit into our hearts, we'll never, ever understand. We'll understand a whole lot about God, but we won't understand who he is. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for if they had known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. He's given us his word. He's given us to understand. He's given us himself, he says in verse 17, sanctify them. There is just one sacrifice for sins that sanctifies all of his people. And verse 22, he's given his people the glory. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. What do you do when you receive a gift? You rejoice and thank the giver. We are bound, 2 Thessalonians, and I'll close with this, we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, glorify thy name. The glory that he has been given, he's given to them. Father, I will, verse 24, that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. What's heaven? Heaven's to be in his presence, to be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known thee, but I have known these, and these have known that thou hast sent me. I have declared unto them thy name. Our God, our Saviour, is a preacher and a declarer. I have declared unto them thy name and will declare it, that, this is the purpose of it, this is the culmination of this prayer, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them and I in him. If he has declared his name, you'll love him. You'll love his word. You'll love his coming. You'll love his giving. May that be our portion, and may the Lord cause us to rejoice in the things that our Saviour rejoices in.